What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 511 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a great interview with two of the creators of a SourcePoint Press comic called Cover of Darkness, and that's George McHale and Chris Cam. It's described in this way. How far would you go to find your family? On an epic journey, five heroes will travel unfathomable distances, make unlikely allies, and encounter horrific villainous creatures they never knew existed, all in a desperate attempt to reunite with each other. We talk about how the book came to be, we discuss the characters, and we talk about what's coming from Cover of Darkness in the months ahead, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. I'm making progress behind the scenes, but right now, it still sounds a little different, but don't let that distract you from the wonderful interview. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show!
The Cover of Darkness, featuring thrilling artwork by the uncanny MJ Hiblin, is set in medieval Romania, where evil lurks under the cover of darkness. One family will be pushed to their absolute limits. They will face legendary monsters and encounter obstacles they never imagined existed. Werewolves, vampires, Frankenstein, and the mummy. When everything is on the line, simply surviving is not enough. Put away your pitchforks and get yourself a copy today.
It's great to welcome back to the podcast George McHale from many things, including Resilient, which I really enjoyed. And you have another book with our other guest, Chris Cam, co-writer. And what name is the book, George?
Cover of Darkness. Is available now through Previews Magazine. It's being published by SourcePoint Press.
Right. Interesting book, because you gave a copy of it, a PDF for me to look at. And I was really interested. Before we get to that, let me talk with George. You and I have talked before about your ability. And your website also lists a bunch of comics that you've done. Would you do me a favor and go ahead and list the books that you have written?
Yeah, so I have Resilient, which is out, being published by Absolute Comics Group. And then I have another series called Hybrid Force that I'm currently shopping for a publisher for. I self-printed some books this summer and I've been taking them to shows, selling that. It's kind of like X-Men meets Batman, the animated series. It's an all-ages story that's done in a manga style. It's a fun book. And then I have my first series that I ever wrote was called Fire Engine Red. And that's like Die Hard and a forest fire. It's about a female firefighter. She's got to take down the armed mercenaries and rescue her boyfriend. But she's got a complicated relationship with her man. She's more at home in a burning building than in the flames of romance. And that series is been taking I have art by Ali Garza on it from Teen Titans and Supergirl. It's a awesome book, and it was picked up by an online publisher called ComicStream, but unfortunately that app doesn't look like it's going to launch. So it's kind of in limbo right now, but I'm hoping to have it. It returns back to me next year. So those are all the things that I write. But Cover Darkness is what we're here to talk about today. It's one of my favorites. And I write it with my cousin, Chris Kemp.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask how you guys knew each other, but obviously that's the case. But Chris, now we've gotten up on what George has done. How about you? What books have you written?
Chris Kemp. I'm Chris Kemp, and Cover of Darkness is actually my first comic book with George. I'm currently working on a young reader graphic novel called Dragons and Bots, and I write a lot of short stories and novels beyond that.
Okay. Who is printing that young adult novel?
I haven't finished writing it, so I'll be shopping it around once it's completed.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. George, let's find out. Where did this idea for Cover of Darkness come from?
I've always loved like those classic monsters. I watched, I don't know if you remember, like the 80s movie Monster Squad. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Goonies, and they got to like take down these the classic monsters that when they returned to town, a bunch of kids. That was my babysitter one night, and it just scared the pants off of me. I was 6 years old, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And so I've always had kind of a love-hate relationship with horror, and I've had a real soft spot for those classic monsters. I went back and watched all the old Universal movies, and I just love those characters. And I wanted a shared universe where all of them were interacting together, and nobody was really doing it. Universal was threatening to do it with the Dark Universe, and I would have loved that, but
right.
it never came to fruition. So we decided to create our own series, and we liked the idea of mashing together two genres. So it's basically horror meets fantasy. So kind of like Game of Thrones meets Universal Monsters was the idea. And so we have dragons and goblins and orcs in our world as well.
Cool. Now, Chris, I was watching George's video where he interviewed you. I think it's Inside Comics on YouTube. And you mentioned something that caught my attention, how much you like monsters.
Yes.
What is it about monsters that gets your attention?
I think that they're just different, and they really draw, for me, my imagination. I love the idea of pitting my heroes against them. I love the idea that some of them are misunderstood. I think that there's a lot of play within the world of monsters, and that you can do a lot with them as characters, whether they be villains or heroes within your story.
That's interesting, because a lot of monsters, there are people who are fans of certain monsters. I haven't seen anybody who's a fan of all the monsters. I usually like, like vampires have been big for a while. But you're a fan of all the monsters, aren't you, Chris?
You know what? I really am. I have to say, on any given day, I'll be like, this one's my favorite today. And, I just love the lore behind a lot of them. And I like to dive in deep and just learn about their origins, where they come from, and then just bring them forward and just do my own take on them as well.
Okay, so George, where's this book set? What's the setting for it?
It's set in like medieval times, primarily, but we jump around quite a lot because in each issue, it's split between our family's adventure. They get separated from each other, and they're on a collision course with the monsters. That's half of each issue. And then the other half is our monsters' origin stories. So in some cases, our monster's origin story might be ancient Egypt, or our Frankenstein story takes place on Atlantis before it falls. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a steampunk Atlantean Frankenstein. So we have different timelines in the world, but our family's adventure is in medieval times.
Okay. Now, in the video that I was watching, Chris, you were talking about the fact that there are three arcs in this story. Is that accurate?
Well, we have planned it out to be three complete story arcs. So if you think of a trilogy, of a movie trilogy or a book trilogy, we have six issues in each of our story arcs, but the three arcs are also combined with one overarching story that just ties them all together very beautifully. And so, the first six is what we're putting out in this round, Cover of Darkness, and it's the beginning of the story. It's how the family gets separated and starts their collision course with all the monsters.
Okay, and let's see, George, as far as Source Point Press, how, according to when I looked at the webpage for that on SourcePoint Press, it looked like it's in the middle of December this is coming out, but people need to place their orders this month, right?
No, it's January 19th. It'll be in stores, but I believe final order cutoff is November 28th.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw something on SourcePoint that said December, but oh well. I'm glad you straightened that out and corrected that for us. So that's good to see. Now, Chris, one of the things I noticed about the book is that there's a lot of female characters involved. And, you know, a woman comics creator is a rare and wonderful thing. So I wanted to get your take on the female characters in this book and like comics in general. I mean, as far as like female leads and things like that, people roll their eyes because I like to talk about woman characters and strong female leads are a big deal to me. Talk about what it was like to create these characters for this book.
It was a lot of fun to come up with strong female characters, and George is really great to write with as well because he really believes in strong female characters as well. I think in comics, I think there is something very fresh and unique that you don't find in necessarily all the other genres, and that's a strong female character that will stand on her own and do what's right. And it's been a lot of fun creating these three main characters that we have in our family that are female and just running with them and showing that they have their weaknesses, but for them, they have their driving purpose, and that's to reunite with their family. And that's no different than the boy's purpose, which is to reunite with the family. They're strong, they're able to save themselves, they're able to fight the monsters, but they also have their weak sides, which is a true human side to them.
Well, do you know the names of the characters, Chris?
Absolutely. We have a mom, her name is Kendra, and we have her two daughters, and one is Thalassa and one is Zelina. So Kendra, Thalassa and Zelina are their three names.
They're all very different in their own ways. Like Kendra, the mother's a bit of an intellectual, and she's very skeptical of magic and fantasy. And then Thalassa's a bit of a wimp, and she's very unsure of herself. And we see her journey, and she changes quite a lot throughout the course of the series. And then Zelina is the youngest, and she's very bombastic and can do and you know, can wrestle like a wild boar. Like she's just like a bit of a wild child. So the three female characters are all very different in their own way.
Well, that's great. I mean, because, you know, in that time period, I don't know that females were that strong or perceived to be that strong. And yet, I think women were a lot stronger than people think they were. What did you feel that was true as well, George?
I just think, like, medieval times, everything was hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had to be tough to make it through. And you didn't necessarily have a man, right? So, yeah, I think these women... In the first issue, there's some other female characters as well, and these three women are raising these children, and they're pretty tough as nails, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're making their own way without a man, and so that is one of the aspects that make them super unique in this world in which we've put them into.
Okay, which is good as far as the character that makes for an interesting story. Now, as far as like making them true to the time period, was that a challenge, Chris, or did you do research on them? How did you make them accurate to the time period they lived in?
I think that we held true to their character, and while we researched the time period, we also wanted to be true to the character that we are creating. So they are a little bit of a rebel. They don't necessarily fit in with the norm, and so they're a bit of a band that travels outside of the norms of society because they don't maybe fit in as well. Though Thalassa, who is one of our girls in the story, she wants is to fit in. She wants a normal life and to settle down and have that family that she sees all of her peers having.
Okay. Now on the cover of George, you've got what looks to be, is that a vampire on there? It must be. Is a vampire, or is that a werewolf?
I don't know what cover you're talking about.
The cover with you've got the guy with the red eyes, and then you've got the female kind of kneeling to the...
Yeah, that's a vampire. It's got, that's that cover is done by Scott McDaniel from Batman and Nightwing fame. We're ecstatic to have him as part of our team. He's doing six covers, and they're actually very collectible in that each of the six covers features an angry monster head And then in the kind of main image, and then in the foreground, we've got one of our members of our family spotlighted, full body. So you have two characters for each cover. First issue is a vampire.
Okay, so who's the girl on the front of the first cover? Which member of the family is that?
That's Thalassa. She's the oldest daughter.
Okay, very good. Right now, talk about creating the art team for the book. I mean, it's MJ Hiblin. I'm not quite familiar with him as I am with Scott, the cover artist. Who? What other work has he done? Can you do you know that, George? Can you fill us in on his background?
Well, MJ Hiblin is mostly known as being an artist on Instagram. He has like a 250,000 followers. So a lot of people, like, I'll be talking about it at a convention or something like that, and someone will pull out their phone and like, hey, wait a minute, I'm following this guy. So he hasn't done a lot of like mainstream work, mostly just covers here and there. He's based out of the UK too, so more European stuff as well.
Oh, cool. Okay. Now, the vampire that's in the book, I like the way that they did that. Now, Chris, did you guys come up with the look, or did the artist develop that?
Kind of a combination. We give him a general idea of what we're hoping for with any specifics that we want to see. So, and then MJ just runs with the idea that we give him, and then he sends us an initial character sketch. Mm-hmm. And from the character sketch, we'll send back our feedback as to this is awesome, or I was thinking more like this, or can we tweak it in this way? And so it really is a collaboration between us to create each of these characters in a vision that matches the story we're telling versus the vision within MJ's head. So it's really great to see those two combined.
Because he looked really menacing to me. I really like the look of him. It's in Transylvania. He's like a predecessor to Dracula, or who is he, George, as far as the line of vampires in Transylvania?
Well, his name is Orlok, and it's based off of the Nosferatu design. I think it's such a cool look. Mm-hmm. He's kind of underutilized, I think, that style of vampire. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to incorporate that into our world. As far as his origins, I've actually just written his origin story, and that's going to come out in a one-shot in the fall to be released by Source Point Press. And it's a little bit too early to give it away, but I'll say that it's not your typical story. And there's, as far as vampire lore, and because we're in that fantasy world, we're combining vampires with elves.
Mm-hmm. So, well, vampires with elves, that's an interesting combination. Is this in Transylvania, vampires and elves?
Yes, it takes place in Transylvania.
Oh, wow, I want to see that. I've never seen that. I love when somebody goes someplace that I haven't read before. That's something I really like, and that surprised the heck out of me. I'm like, what? So I like that. That's going to be good. You're saying that it's aiming for the fall of next year.
Yeah, we're going to do a one-shot with three short stories, just giving a little bit more of a background on some of those characters. And they're all going to be illustrated by different artists. I can say that we have Andy Belanger from Swamp Thing, Southern Cross, and he's currently doing his own series, Mother Trucker, right now. He's illustrating the Orlok story.
Okay, that sounds like it's a comedy book or something with the name of it. Is that a comedy series, Mother Trucker?
that's Andy's wrestling in space. I think it's just craziness, but it looks really cool, and he's a fantastic talent, so I'm really psyched to be working with him.
Oh, great. Well, that's good to hear. Now, there's a kind of a running gag of interesting thing that goes through the book, Chris, and it has to do with one of the characters, and I don't want to spoil it, but it happens a couple of times of a character whose name is Vladimir.
Yes.
Did you guys come up? Did you guys write that running gag, or how did you guys come up with that? And I don't want to spoil it, but it's a funny little bit. It shows up a couple times in the book.
We were just trying to show his character, and with having through a lot of visual means, we tried to add in some of the verbal ways. And for him, it was very important. This is a tree he's willing to die on here, or a hill he's willing to die on. And we tried to turn it into a bit of a gag to make it relatable to other people who can look at him and be like, all right, you are who you say you are. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got another set of creatures too that I enjoy, that people that turn into birds. Talk about those people. I'm not familiar with that legend, George. Who is that?
Well, so these are our shape-shifting boys. So within our family, we have a mom, her two daughters, and then we have her twin shape-shifting nephews, boys that can turn into animals. So they can turn into birds, but they can also turn into like gorillas and fight werewolves. So you're going to get like a lot of fun mashups in this series of different animals taking on different monsters. We at one point we've got a Yeti fighting a polar bear. One of the boys turns into a polar bear. So it's just bananas. It's pretty much wherever we can take our imagination. We can go there with these characters. And so we have two boys and they're very different too. We've got Jonas, who's a bit of a slacker, and it's kind of slugs off his responsibility. And then we have Jericho, who's more of the straight arrow. So the two twin brothers are also part of our main cast that we follow on their adventure as they try and find their way home.
Okay, so we had the three females, and now we've got the two boys. Are there other members of the family that we come across? Is that Chris? Well, go ahead, George, if you want to answer that one.
Oh, there are other members, but these are our five main characters.
Okay, so we might bump into more as we go along?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right. So I'm kind of interested because they're not considered monsters, even though they're shapeshifters.
Well, I guess in our world that we've built, our family doesn't know about monsters until they start encountering them. Right. And so these shapeshifters are just part of their family. And so they're not really looked at as monsters because they just kind of hide their ability from other people as to not be ostracized from society even more than they already are.
Okay. So, and they actually seem to come together at one point, at least these five do. And they're looking for are they looking for more family members? Is that what's happening? Is that Chris? Is that how are they looking for other family members? Are there more than five?
Well, they're traveling and they're looking for the boys at one point. So I don't know which part you're looking at. So I'll just go. They're traveling and they're looking for the boys. And then at one point, as the boys come home, they see that there is a chance to get a pig, a wild boar. And so they run off to try and get the wild boar for dinner, because back in those days, you couldn't go to the supermarket. You had to hunt what you were going to eat. And so they go off on a hunt. So I'm not sure which portion you're at that point.
Well, the only thing I've seen so far is the first issue. That sounds like that may be in the second issue. Is that part? Because I don't see that in the first issue.
That's possible, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's okay, because I'm sure it all runs together in the creators' minds.
it definitely does. As we get up to issue 10 is the one that we've just finished and Mark's illustrating. They've definitely started to run into a line of the story at this point.
So you're about to wrap up the second arc as far as the writing goes.
Yeah, we're more than halfway through the second arc for sure, and it's just starting issue 11 is what we're writing right now.
Is that kind of fun to make a story this long? Because, you know, the comics are often divided into two things. They either have long stories or they have like short one issue stories. But it sounds like you guys are doing the longer tale. Are you at some point going to break it up and occasionally have like a one issue tale that kind of gives you a break from the longer story?
That's what we are doing with our one shot. So how we have it scheduled is that the first six story arc, so the first complete story arc is going to come out. And then at the end of those six issues, the one shot is going to come out. And that's going to give you some of the backstory of some of our monsters and some of our characters. And then the idea is that the next story arc, so the next six issues, will be released after that. Mm-hmm. And then we have the plan for another one shot right after that. So it gives a bit of a break, and it also takes the comic on a different perspective, as opposed to showing half the family and half the monster, which is what the first six issues focus on, is half the family adventure and then half that monster origin and where the monster's coming from. With the one shot, you get to see a lot of the background of the monsters individually, ones that we didn't tell in the first six issues.
Cool. Cool. So if they're coming out through Source Point Press, do you know about when those one shots are going to hit? You said the fall?
Yeah, we don't have a solid date yet for them, but they've committed to putting it out. So yeah, it'll be in the fall.
That'd be a great thing to put out around Halloween.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ties in nicely, hey?
Yeah, monsters and stuff. That's the Halloween thing. If you can time it that way, that would be a great time. Before Halloween, not after. But
yes.
I always tell the story of Klaus, which Grant Morrison did. He started a miniseries on like around Christmas Day. In the middle of May, the miniseries ended. And I wondered how many books they actually sold of a Santa Claus series running in May. I don't think people are all that interested in that. And so now what he does, he puts a book out on the Wednesday before Christmas every year. And thank goodness for that, because I think that's a whole lot smarter than that miniseries that started in Christmas season. So I'm grateful for that. But your stuff, boy, I would say, if you're going to do a special like that, I would, like I said, I think Halloween would be ideal.
Yeah, the timing ties in beautifully, right? Everybody's already thinking monsters, so it's a good tie-in that way.
I think for a lot of people, though, they never stop thinking about monsters. One of my things in like my pitch recently, I've been saying, if you don't want Halloween to end, pick up Cover of Darkness.
Very good, very good. So are we going to see these monsters? And, of course, I don't want to spoil stuff. But, there are, when you get to the end of the book, and I got a question about that, too, I want to get to it. But there are posters or, like, individual pages. You've got one that looks like a werewolf, one, a girl looks like she's a werewolf. And then there's the last one is like a sea creature, a woman that looks like a sea creature. Are those covers that are coming for upcoming issues, George?
That's right. Yeah. Those are the Scott McDaniel covers. So they're very collectible. And yeah, we have some of the characters that aren't introduced yet in issue one. We're building a big world here. But what's great is that with every issue, you can really jump in because we've got that standalone monster origin story. So it was really important to me as a reader, as a comic book fan, to have something important happen in every issue. And so that's what we've done. We've given you a self-contained read and an ongoing at the same time.
Cool. Now, the question I've got, though, is I got a PDF of a book, and I think that isn't this the did you do a Kickstarter for this, George?
We did. We did a Kickstarter for issue one last year.
Okay, so that's good. That must be what I see. What I got was that about that. So now it's going to come out under Source Point Press. Are you doing special things, Chris, to get people, if they've already got the Kickstarter one? Are there things you're putting in that might attract them to buy the Source Point Press issue as well?
Well, the Source Point Press, you can get the Scott McDaniels collectible covers, and then you can get all six, and they tie in really beautifully together so that you can get the entire series collected with all the same art from Scott McDaniels, who is a phenomenal artist that we are lucky to have illustrate all six for us.
Okay, so that's cool. So if you already have the Kickstarter, you want to make sure you get the Source Point Press one as well.
Yes, absolutely. And the Scott McDaniels one is a special limited edition one that I think they're only doing through comic book stores. Is that correct, George?
It'll be available through comic book stores and then also at the convention. Like the two covers, it's like there we have one by our series artist, MJ Hiblin, and then one by Scott McDaniel. So there, it's like a cover A and a cover B. It's not like an incentive cover or anything like that. You can pick up both covers equally.
Great, great. Now, I did want to mention how much I like the inside artwork, how very, how it fits the mood. I mean, there's great things in forests, and then there's also like shadows, and the red eyes of the vampire stand out like crazy. Now, really beautiful art, I have to say.
So one thing that's crazy about that is that our artist, MJ Hiblin, he does everything digitally with his finger. He doesn't use a pencil or a stylus. He just uses his finger. I can barely sign my name on like one of those pads at the mall or something like that. I can't, I don't understand how he does it, but he works really quickly and he has like a real gritty and kinetic vibe to his energy, to the artwork that he creates. I think it really fits our subject matter perfectly.
God, he uses his finger to get all that detail?
Yeah.
Wow, I find that hard to believe, actually. Because, you know, often a person will turn their face and there's all this detail. You know, there's like red on their cheeks and the eyes. It's really, really nice detail. Very George Perez-like in that sense. There's all this wonderful detail. Does he do the coloring as well?
He does.
He does, yeah.
Wow. Because, I mean, there's this one page that's a full page where the vampire standing there talking to the two humans, and wow, I'd say the color really got me. That would make a wonderful poster. Oh man. So how does he do the color though? If he does he put the color in with his finger too?
He does. He does his line art first and then he changes the layer. And he does the color underneath the line art, but it really brings it to life.
Does he do any YouTube stuff where he shows how he does it?
He does have some on YouTube where he shows how he does it, but he doesn't talk through it. One thing that's interesting is we've never talked to this guy on the phone. We've been working with him for 3 years now, and I haven't done a Zoom call. I haven't talked to him on the telephone. It's all been through email.
Wow, because, you know, it's interesting how in the digital era of creating comics, a lot of times the creators have never actually spoken to each other or been in the same room together. I was working on a comic called Stabby Bunny, and there was the writer lived in Florida, the artist lived on a mountain in North Carolina, and the colorist lived in the Philippines. And so the three of them have never been in the same room together. So it sounds like you guys have had some of the same experience, although two of you guys, obviously, you're probably in the same area with your artist. I mean, do you know where your artist is located?
He lives in the UK.
In the UK, okay. So, yeah, you guys probably have not been in the same room, which is a standard occurrence for digital creators. So that's cool. Well, I do have to follow up on something, though, that you guys are related. I find that a real interesting thing. I mean, were you guys both into comics before you started to write and do stuff together? How did you guys discover that you had the same interest in creating, like, comic stories?
It's one of my favorite stories to tell, actually. So George and I grew up together. I would spend entire summers. I would arrive at his house like 3 days after school ended in June and head back home 3 days before school started at the end of August. So we'd spend months together every summer when we were growing up. And then George loved comics and cartoons, and he really is the one who brought me into that world. And so X-Men was my first comic and my biggest love of comics up till now, until I created my own. And then a couple of years ago, coming from that, George and I were walking through IKEA when he had come to visit one Easter. And he's like, you know what? You love monsters. I love monsters. I have a mummy story. And I'm like, I have a Frankenstein story. We should write a story together. And then we had gone to the Calgary Expo, and coming out of the comic expo, we were just like, there's just no monster comics. We need to tell this story. And so that was just kind of the origin of where it came from. George and I share a love of comics, and he's a comic book writer and I'm a novel writer. And we just took our two passions and shared love of monsters and created Cover of Darkness.
Cool, because it's a great thing when two family members can get together and do stuff like that. That's another rare thing in comics. It's usually people who create comics, there's no familial relations usually there. You know, a guy who's interested in comics often is alone in a community, and they reach out to the internet and find somebody in another community that's probably usually alone. So I think that's cool that you guys are doing that. It's really great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to have somebody that I'm close to that I'm sharing this adventure with. It has been really good.
That's great. As far as like the future and what you guys are up to now, Chris, you just said you're a novelist. Are there novels that you've written that are for sale that are available now?
No, nothing that's out and published at this point in time, but one day you will see me out there as a published novelist.
Okay, great. What kind of novels do you like to write?
I've written romance, I've written a urban fantasy, and I've written a teen novel.
A lot of variety to that. That's good. I like writers that can write multiple genres, because if you write the same genre, if all you write is Western, I get a little bored.
Yeah, well, and it's often a similar story that you start to tell over time in that kind of case.
Yeah, which eventually you start running in place, and that's never good. Now, George, you're doing a different variety of stuff. You mentioned a superhero group, and this is a horror stuff. What other genres do you like to write?
Mostly like action adventure, kind of with a little bit more of a gritty vibe. Like a lot of my other series, like Fire Engine Red and Resilient, both have like kind of R rating sort of language in it. And I try and make my characters witty and have the dialogue pop and have like graphic violence. So kind of R rated action movie type stories is what I'm mostly drawn to, but I love the horror genre. And I made my Hybrid Force book, which is kind of an all ages series, because I have a 9-year-old daughter and I wanted to have something that I could work with her and talk to her about what she thought was cool and try and make something that I thought that she would really like.
Speaking of Resilient, I read the first two issues. Has there been any more since those issues?
Honestly, I don't really know what's going on as far as distribution. For the second issue hasn't hit stores yet. Mm. It was solicited through Diamond, but now it's been pulled from there. So I'm waiting to see what the plan is with Absolute Comics Group. I think we're doing a Kickstarter for issue 2 later this month, and it's going to be partnered with I Make Boys Cry issue 3 and White Widow issues 6 and 7 or 7 and 8, something like that. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I don't know 100% what's the next step for it. I know I'm just about finished it. We're working on issue 5 right now, me and the artist Vin Zeltabanis. Mm-hmm. And we're halfway done, and that's going to conclude the first story arc.
Because I like the second issue. I enjoyed the first issue, and then you sent me a copy of the second issue, which I enjoyed. It ended in a great place, I have to say. And I want to see more of that story. So if you have to, maybe you have to go somewhere else maybe to get it to come out, because I'd like to see more of that.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm excited for it to get out. I was really proud of issue 2. The writing on it was kind of very personal to me. So I'm looking forward to be released. Like I said, I think we're doing a Kickstarter soon. So if anyone's out there and they're excited for more Resilient, make sure you're following me at Comic Book George on Instagram, and I'll definitely be posting about that when I know more about it.
Okay. Now, Chris, George gave his social media thing. If people want to follow you and keep up with what you're up to, how'd they do that?
Come on to Instagram. I'm at Cam Crystal.
Okay. Very good. So, and maybe you should spell that.
Yeah. CamCrystal.
I always liked the name Crystal, but that was because I saw in the Fantastic Four there was an Inhuman who was named Crystal.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I like that name. Of course, the spelling's a little different than you used. She spells it CrystaL, with like the scientific element stuff.
Yes.
I always loved that. If I ever had a daughter, I was always going to want to name her Crystal.
It's a great name. I've enjoyed it. But the more common spelling is C-R-Y, and that's what you see a lot out there.
Yeah, very cool.
There's a lot of girls that were born in the 70s named Crystal.
It's true. Very
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. I haven't run into many. The only Crystal I've ever met besides you was Crystal in the Fantastic Four. So really, I'm glad to hear that, because I like that name.
Yeah.
Very good, very good, because I like to stop. Well, it's called Cover of Darkness. Look for it in your previews right now. Previews will be sure to tell your comic shop that you want this. And this is going to be issue number one. Is it going to be coming out monthly, George?
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. We've got all six issues are done. It's going to be coming out regularly. If you like Game of Thrones, if you like those classic Universal monsters, if you like something monumental and awesome happening in every issue, if you like an ongoing fantasy epic with, you know, high concepts and brutal action and gore, pick up Cover of Darkness and make sure you got to tell your store to bring it in, because it might not be there if you don't ask for it. So Cover of Darkness from Source Point Press.
Yeah, these days there's so many comics coming out and so many companies that it's hard for stores to know exactly what people want. I do that to my store that I go all the time. I say to her, did you order such and such? And she says, no. I say, oh, shoot. Well, I didn't order it, so it's on me. Because, you know, I don't realize. Sometimes I don't know until I actually see the book what I want. So I got to be, I'm trying to get better at that. So, but if this is a book you're going to want to make sure that you order, because especially if you're into monsters and you're into good horror like that, this is the place to go. It's called Cover of Darkness. It's going to come through Source Point Press. And of course, George and Chris are the writers on the book. And so you're going to want to make sure you get that. Are there anything else that you guys are working on? I know, Chris, you're talking about writing novels, and George was talking about some of the books. Any other projects, maybe, George, that you're working on that we should hear about?
That's it for projects, but I would like to shout out that I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this Thanksgiving weekend. I have a table there, and I'll also be at Emerald City in Seattle. So stop by my table. I'll be in Artist Alley at both shows.
Oh, cool. Have you been at San Diego before, George?
I've been there as a fan. I've never been there as a comic book creator and had my own table. So I'm excited about that.
I've been exhausted after San Diego several times. And on Saturday, if it holds true, Saturday is where you take only baby steps through the place, because the place is so full of people. And it may be different this year because of the change of time, of weekend, and the change of, well, of course, all that social distancing and stuff going on. But when I've been there before, I literally, all I could take was baby steps walking around on the floor, because there's just so many. And somebody would stop, take a picture, people would scream at them, what are you stopping for? We got to keep going. I got places to go.
Yeah, so, little time. I was there in 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there in 2018. It was just a sea of humanity. It was just so many people. You know, so I'm looking forward to being there, and I'm going to have prints of Cover of Darkness available. The book isn't the book won't be really available. I'll have like a couple copies. If you come on day one, you might be able to get it. But because I have some of my indie self-printed stuff left, but not a lot. But I'll have prints from Cover of Darkness.
Do you know the booth number?
I don't. Okay.
All right. Well, the, are you under your name? Is that the booth is in your name, not Source Point Press or something?
No, it's George McHale in Artist Alley. George
McHale. So maybe you better spell your last name just so people find it.
Oh, M-I-C-H-A-I-L.
Yeah. So I want to make sure. Look for that name. I'm sure they're going to have a directory and several around. So go, what about you, Chris? Are you interested in going to San Diego? You ever been there?
I've never been. Someday I would love to, but alas, it's not in the cards for me in the very near future. So I'm going to live vicariously through George and enjoy his stories as he tells them.
Okay, because San Diego is where many unusual things take place. You know, one of the great things about comic conventions is that stuff happens behind the scenes. And months later, we find out what people were talking about and what the deals that were made and stuff like that. So San Diego, I know a lot of things happen. That's why, Chris, it'd be great if you ever get there. Someday you'll have to get a chance to. If you ever get a chance, I would definitely go.
Yeah, I definitely will make my way one day, whether it be as a fan or as somebody on the other side of the table. Someday I will definitely make it to San Diego. It sounds like it's amazing.
Maybe you guys could share a table.
Yes, yes.
That might be a way to do it, get the money in, because there's so many different areas and there's so many different things to look at. It's just great. So be sure, if you get to San Diego, look up George and A Cover of Darkness, and you're going to want to find that. And hopefully Chris will be there sometime soon. So great stuff. Anyway, this is a great book. You're going to want to make sure your comic shop knows about it and orders it so that when it comes out in January, you'll be able to get it. So do you happen to know what the number is, George, by any chance? What it is?
I do. The order number is NOV211702.
Okay, so be sure to order that. If you have that number when you go to your shop, that sometimes makes it a little easier.
Honestly, guys, just add it to your pull list. You're going to want it. It's 6 issues. Each issue has a standalone monster origin story. First issue, we got the vampire story. Second issue, we've got a mummy story. That's really awesome. Third issue, steampunk Atlantean Frankenstein, a new twist on him. And you got to see this design that we've done for him. Just amazing. He's got like a little cookie jar lid to put the brain back in on the top of his head. And in our version, he's resurrected by his widow, Dr. Mary Frankenstein. Issue 4, we've got a creature from the Black Lagoon origin story. He's the love child of a mermaid and a pirate in our world. And in issue 5, we've got Viking werewolves. You get 5 standalone monster origin stories. And then issue 6 is our epic conclusion with dragons. So you're going to like this series. Just go ahead and add it to your pull list, honestly.
I'm still thinking about elves and the vampires.
Yes.
You got to read the second bit. You got to read the standalone for that one, too.
Yeah, there's so many good things going on. So I got to make sure I get this book. Well, anyway, George and Chris, you've done a wonderful book, and they've gone places I haven't been before, which I love. You don't know how rare that is. I've been reading these books for a couple decades now, and sometimes I don't find many new things. So I have to congratulate you on coming up with some new and wonderful things. I just think it's going to be great. Cover of Darkness, Source Point Press. Make sure that you order it. And you guys keep it up. George, have fun at San Diego. And Chris, I hope you get there sometime soon. But keep up the wonderful work.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us on.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy. And I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed. But as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.